No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
A message from McAfee. Wondering why the post office is texting you, or why you owe thousands of dollars in toll fees? Because someone's trying to scam you. The good news? McAfee can help. With McAfee's award-winning scam detection, it's easy to tell what's real and what's fake, over text, in your inbox, and online. If they're fake...
You want a free gift?
Seriously? If they're faking it, they're not making it past us. Get award-winning scam detection today. McAfee.com/keepitreal.
W.
T. L.
It's a big, hairy American winning machine. You ain't first, you're last.
W.
T. L.
All right, nice, huh? Got a talk show here, talk show with my mic. I got everything.
W.
T. L.
All he does is work out at Pit Brothers. Get in 85% weekend. You're a mute.
W.
T. L.
Brings you to our next point. Don't smoke crack.
And welcome to WTL, everybody. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by...
Jibran.
The parlay.
Yes, sir. Yep, we're back.
Man, the season is upon
us. Yeah, I can't wait, man.
Football is here. We got some preseason NFL games that we're going to smash here tonight.
Yep.
And we're going to talk some UFC Fight Night, right?
Of course,
got
have to.
Got to get there. And then let's talk some Rookie of the Year... MVP,
yep.
Maybe some Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, a little prop stuff for the NFL. The season is upon us, just like you said, and this preseason football gets me shaking, man. This stuff is awesome.
This preseason stuff is wild.
I love it. I love it.
Awesome's one way to put it. But, man, you're trying to project who's going to be playing, who's
exactly.
not going to be playing. We're going to get into it. I think we're going to start with a local team here.
Yeah.
You know, Bears versus Chiefs. 12 o'clock kickoff on the NFL Network.
Yeah.
Now, this might be a surprise to a lot of folks out there. Chicago's favored, 3.5.
Surprise to me, for sure.
Nah, come on.
I'm just kind of throwing some shade at Andy here, the Bears fan. Like you said, yeah, the Bears have the line at 3.5, -110 bet. Uh-huh. The money line for them is at -165. But what I'm looking at, Andy, a little bit at this game, if I'm looking at anything at all, that over-under is sitting at 35 points. I just think that is a lot of points for a preseason game.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I don't believe the Bears are going to project a lot of offense in this game.
No.
And with that being said, I don't understand why they're favored if...
well, there's a few things going on here.
Yeah.
Fields is going to play a lot.
Right.
Okay, so you got your starting quarterback that's in there. You want to give him some confidence, so you're going to let him play a few extra series. I will say that the Bears camp doesn't look good right now. They just had another receiver go down to injury, David Moore. So
yep.
Now you have Moore, Pringle, Pettis, and the rookie Jones Jr.
Yeah,
all out with
all
injury.
Out.
All the receivers are out with injury right now. This is ridiculous. Ryan Poles, the GM, is trying to mop things up with the Roquan Smith.
He wants out.
They're not giving me any respect. And then the GM's coming out, yeah, we did. We gave him respect.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the last thing you want to hear.
What a dumpster fire.
But the way that I'm looking at this, Andy, is that the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they are the proven winner here, obviously, but they got a lot of new pieces that they have to try out here in this preseason.
Yeah.
They got a brand new receiving core. It's brand spanking new, except for Travis Kelce. They're all new. It's Juju Smith, it's MVS, and their rookie Sky Moore all have to figure out this repertoire with Mahomes. So I think they'll leave him in there for at least probably two, maybe three series, and that could be enough to shut the Bears down.
Well, outscore him at least.
Exactly.
I don't think that's going to be too hard. But I will say, you flip over and look at the Chiefs camp, and there's no news.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all good competition on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're getting healthy. The opposite, Rashid Fenton, that cornerback.
Yep.
He's back. Carlos Dunlap, late signee.
For sure.
They're integrating him more, so he's playing a lot more, doing some good things. That's exactly how I would want my camp to be.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Exactly.
Like, quiet.
No drama. No drama. There hasn't been drama since Hill left, and that's kind of the way it should be.
And that's where I feel like the Chiefs, they know who they are. They know what they are.
So exactly.
They're going to pull all those guys. And Juju Smith, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, MVS knows. Yeah.
They know. So I do. I kind of like this line with Chicago. This might be the only time.
You're going to pick
gonna
the Bears.
I'm going to take the Bears. I'm going to get it in early. Go with that. Ride that 3.5 Chicago. Don't move it on me, though.
Yeah. I don't know if I could jump on board with you, but I'd be looking at that under. If anything, I'm going to bet on this one. So
the under sounds pretty good as well.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on. Let's move out west, sucker.
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys, they're taking their little show to Denver.
Yeah.
That's going to be the nightcap Saturday night.
Yeah.
On the NFL Network, 8 o'clock kickoff. Denver has it at 3.5.
Yeah.
They're the favorites.
Well, this is the
– three. It goes back and forth.
Yeah, for sure. This is the dawning of a new era in Denver. It's the first time that you're going to see Mr. Russell Wilson in orange. I like it at a -3 right now for Denver.
Really?
Like you said, with the Cowboys coming to town, they're not going to play Dak. They're not going to play Zeke. They're probably not even going to play CD. These guys are so injury prone that they pretty much don't even play in the preseason. That's why I like this Denver trying to, probably giving Russell at least a couple series. And then, they have a lot of young players on
Get him in there.
They have a lot of young players on the offensive side of the ball that need reps as well. So I really like the Denver -3 here. And if you're too scared of that, go with the -150 at the money line. I really like that as well.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you make of this kind of an oddball deal? You don't see it as much as you used to. They're having a joint practice.
Right.
Cowboys, Broncos. So they're going to kind of have like a feeling out
for sure.
Session.
Yeah.
All padded up, but no tackle. Or how that goes.
Just fights break out. That's about it.
Right. Everybody's big time, right?
Yeah.
There is one injury here that I think is going to help out the Denver Broncos, and that's Will Grier, who's in a competition right now for that two spot with Cooper Rush as the quarterback.
Yeah.
They're going back and forth. He's out with a groin injury.
Yeah.
So now you're getting less snaps, zero snaps for Dak, right?
Because if he does, he's gonna take one series,
maybe one series,
and they're gonna probably be running plays, and that's it.
Yeah, because you can't. I mean, he gets hurt all the freaking time.
You cannot lose him, and he is their lifeblood this year. If he doesn't play, they don't make it.
So then it all comes down to Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush,
right?
Yep.
And there's no anybody nipping at his heels with Will Grier being out.
Exactly.
And that's what all projections are showing, that he's probably not going to play. So I like the fact that Denver is going to probably have Russell in there a little longer.
Yep.
Okay. And they are set at their backup quarterback, and they're getting healthy. I like Denver too here.
Yeah.
And it's at home. They want to put on a show for their fans.
Exactly. They have the better defense. They do. And, those guys play a lot more in the preseason. They're trying to get, game reps, get up to speed.
And
so I like the Denver defense ones playing against the Cowboy twos. I'll take that matchup any day. And especially when it's such a small line at -3 at home for Denver.
I
really like it.
And they're going to want to put it on a show. Melvin Gordon III, though, he is hurt.
Yep.
He sat out last couple practices with a foot injury. We'll see how that goes. But you do have a true competition here between Josh Johnson and Brett Rypien.
Yep.
That's a familiar name.
Yep.
Rypien right now is listed at they just came out with an unofficial
right.
depth chart. He's the third quarterback, but that's that competition that I like.
For sure.
They're both going to want to ball out, and you don't have that on the other side. So roll with the Broncos. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, now we got a Sunday preseason
game. Yeah, we got our first Sunday football of the year.
Who do we got? Who do
we got? We got
here?
The Minnesota Vikings traveling to Las Vegas.
The Raiders.
To take on the Raiders. this is going to be a fun one on Sunday. Like I said, everybody's going to be tuning in, you know, getting back into that Sunday football feel.
Another Sunday, another NFL Network, 3:30, 3:25 kickoff. Raiders are the favorites at 3.5. What do you think?
Yeah, no, this is a tough one, Andy, because I really want to cheer for the Vikings here.
Yeah.
I really think the Raiders are – gonna try and, you know, come out, you know, have some fast pace, you know, trying to put all these pieces together with Devontae in the new offense, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I really think that they're gonna try and jump out. Now, maybe the Vikings have the better pieces on the backside of the game, which I think they probably do with the younger players coming in and all that kind of stuff. So I really think the Raiders maybe jump out here to, you know, a 7-10-point lead or whatever, but I do think the Vikings probably bring it back to that 3.5 where that line is and cover.
You think they're going to cover, and so, but you could still have the Raiders winning by 3.
Right.
If this line stays at 3.5 or more.
And that's what I see on a lot of these preseason games. I think they're a lot closer.
They're priming you.
they are. You don't see a lot of blowouts. You don't see a lot of, you know, people running up scores and stuff just because it's more of a glorified practice than anything.
Coaches want to keep the young bucks the pressure situation on.
Exactly.
They want to see how they respond.
Exactly. And they do want them to score and all that kind of stuff, obviously, but it's such a back and forth with these preseason games. I don't see this opening up more than a 3-point game, so I really like the Vikings at a +3.5.
Well, there's a few things to like here. New head coach, okay, Kevin O'Connell.
Yep.
Right? One thing that does give me a little bit of pause is they're moving to a 3-4 defense.
Yeah.
First time the Vikings have installed a base 3-4 since 1985. So it's been a while. So
yeah.
It's kind of like a culture. They've always run the 4-3 there. One pickup, though, that sneaky, really good pickup. Dalvin Tomlinson.
Yeah.
Spent the first 4 seasons with the Giants. He was the middle. He was the cog of their 3-4 defense.
He was the man there.
I think that was – and he played his college ball at Alabama. So, I mean, you know he's a stud.
Yeah.
And kind of flew under the radar, but the Vikings absolutely needed a guy like that if they were going to move
– For sure.
– to this 3-4 defense. Offensively, I think they could be explosive this year.
Oh, yeah.
Really freaking
big
good.
Time.
And I think they're going to want to show that off a little bit here.
Okay.
I think they're going to air it out, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And you know Sean Mannion, the backup quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
He can air it out.
He can air it out.
Okay.
But, yeah, even the guy behind him and Kellen Mond,
yeah.
He wants to put his imprint on the game. He's, you know, a higher draft pick than most. And he really wants to get in there and show what he's made of, too. He wants that second position just as much as Sean Mannion does.
Right.
So, like you said, if they can, you know, get a few reps in there with Justin Jefferson and KJ Osborne and people like that, they can really probably put up some points. Even Albert Wilson, he's down in the depth chart for the Vikings, but he's a really fast guy. So
fast guy.
Yeah, and Johnson as well, Bisbee Johnson. So they got some really, you know, talented wide receivers here, and you know, I think they're gonna stay in this game, if not win it.
So all that being said, you're completely wrong. Okay, the Raiders are going to run away with this one.
Oh,
they want
God.
To put on a show.
Here we go.
Okay, they have a new coach too, Josh McDaniels.
Yep.
And they had an even more impressive offseason with the waiver wire, picking up Josh McDaniels picking up Jarrett Stinton, right?
Yes.
The kid that he drafted in New England.
Yep.
Had him for the last 4 years. Okay, and then you watched the Hall of Fame game last Thursday.
I did.
Team high, 96 yards passing.
Yep.
Had that highlight 12-yard touchdown run.
He
shared
did.
The wheels. And Chris Collinsworth couldn't help himself, even during the broadcast, said, well, he's the only guy that fully knows this offense on the roster right now.
Here's a guy that knows the offense. Here's the guy, Al.
You know, you better – I like Chris, okay?
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying he has
– Here's a guy.
He says that about a million times.
Oh,
but
I know.
So well, I say stuff too, but no, yeah, you're absolutely
it.
Right with Jarrett Stidham. He's definitely the better backup quarterback in the game. And they have a proven, you know, not a proven starter, but a guy that started multiple games for the 49ers, Nick Mullins, even behind him. So you're probably, you know, not too far off on this. And they obviously have DeMarcus Robinson, the speedster from Kansas City, as a underlying receiver here. So there's a couple explosive offenses here. I guess we'll see who comes out on top.
I just think that the Raiders are going to probably leave their second stringers in there a little bit longer. They're a little bit more acclimated. They've already played a game, and they're at home. They want to put on a show in Las Vegas. That's what Las Vegas was built to put on a show.
It's a show. Yeah, it's a show.
It is a show. Like, they don't lose the entertainment aspect of it at all. I think the Vikings will put up a good fight. I think it'll be a good game. But I do see the Raiders covering
all right.
that. 3.5
Okay.
What do you think about that?
We are heading to Minneapolis next week with our father to watch the Minnesota Vikings play. So I might be dipping into that charisma a little bit, but I do like them to cover. I don't think this game's going to outstretch a 3-point victory for the Raiders.
What's the over under? What's your book have it at?
34.
Right, 34, and you like that? I mean, if you had to do it, you'd probably go with the over.
I would.
You would go. I would too. There at that spot, because for all the reasons we just talked about.
Exactly.
I think we have a couple prolific offenses.
Yeah.
They're going to want to air it out. I really like everything you're hearing from Kevin McConnell up in Minnesota.
For sure.
Positive.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins loves the guy. He's listening to him.
Yeah.
He got the weapons. I think Adam Thielen's going to have a bounce back year.
Well, a bounce back year for this guy is, you know, he's so underrated. Just because Justin Jefferson might be the best receiver in the league doesn't mean that Adam Thielen's taking a back seat. He's still going to get his touchdowns. He's still going to get his chunk plays. So, and he's a guy that doesn't need the spotlight to really, you know, be open all the time for Kirk Cousins. Justin Jefferson is a different animal, obviously, but you always need that second receiver. It's the same thing that he was doing with Stephon Diggs three or four years ago.
Yeah.
He's been in this position. He knows how to do it, and what he sees is touchdowns most of the time.
Nothing wrong with 7 catches, 120 yards, and a touchdown. He's just, like, satisfied with that, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Like, ending the year with, you know, 12, 13 touchdowns is a down year. I guess I'll take it.
Pretty good down year for your second or third receiver.
Yes. So one bet that I want to throw in here, Andy, and I know that somebody's going to call me out here, but it's one that I really thought they had wrong right away, is the Panthers versus the Commanders. Is it at a pick? Is that a pick'em game now? It's
here
at a pick'em game. It is in Washington, but the Panthers are coming out to ball this Saturday. It's brand new Baker, brand new, you know, they're trying to play this off.
Is Baker the starter? That's not what I'm hearing.
That's what I'm saying, is they're trying to play this off.
We're up against it here.
Yeah, we're up against it.
Okay, so no, finish this point, though. I'm intrigued.
So what I'm saying is that they're trying to say that there's quarterback drama in Carolina when there's obviously not. Mm-hmm. Baker's the starter, but obviously Sam Darnold wants to come out and show what he's got. Baker's going to get a couple, you know, series to show what he's got. So I think they're going to lay it on the Commanders a little bit here, and it's at a pick'em game right now, and I just don't believe in the Commanders, so not against my Panthers.
Lock it up.
Lock it up. That's a big one right there, boys.
All right, let's take a quick minute here to recognize one of our fabulous partners, Play Action Pools. Play Action has launched as the newest sports pool hosting platform and is your new spot for all your football contest needs. Play today at playactionpools.com. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. And welcome back to WTL, everybody. I'm your host, Andy Klass, joined by
Gibran.
This is Where's the Line?
Yeah.
The Parlay Pounder. Got to get into the UFC
here. Yeah, we
got to
get in UFC. If we're going to start making some parlays, got to get in the UFC.
There we go. Fight night, Saturday.
Yeah.
August 13th in San Diego.
Yep. Just like you said, the Octagon travels to sunny San Diego.
There we go.
The card features a number of exciting matchups, including two natives from California, Marlon Vera and San Diego's own Dominique Cruz for the main event. But we want to, you know, kind of weasel our way into
this
that.
This is a really deep card.
It's a really deep
there's
card.
There's a lot of holdover fights from last week, you know, for whatever reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of value if you really want to dive into this card here. Up and down it, you can find spots, and we're going to find some
for
right
sure.
Now.
I got two fights here, and like you said, they're prelim fights, they're early fights, they're fights that I really think that I have a pretty good nail on.
Okay.
The first one is Nina Nunez, wife of Amanda Nunez, UFC double champion that we just talked about last week, versus Cynthia Calvillo. And this is
Calvillo.
This is just a really good fight. Calvillo, after a 6-1 start in her UFC career, you know, there was talk about her being the new, you know, title challenger and everything.
Sure.
She, you know, she's kind of in a low point right now. They kind of threw up against the wall against some of the best flyweights in the division that kind of had her way with her. She has lost three straight, and the last two being destructive knockouts to her. She needs a win bad to, you know, pretty much stay in the UFC at this point. Desperate fighters, in my mind, can be very dangerous in fights like this.
Yeah, she's the dog here. I mean, if you're just looking at rankings, she's ranked 12th contender.
Yeah.
Nunez is number 9 contender right now.
Right, like you're saying. She is picked to win. She's at a minus 190 to win on my book.
Yeah.
I think it's different for some people, but fortunately...
Not that much.
Yeah,
I mean, not that much.
Not that much. It's not crazy, that's what I'm saying. But fortunately, Calvillo here, she gets a foe that has only fought twice over the last 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Add to the fact that those were both losses and that Nina Nunez is 36 years old at this point.
And her overall record's 10-7. Like,
exactly.
What am I scared of here?
Yeah, exactly. It seems that,
wife can't come in the octagon, right?
No, she can't.
No tag team stuff.
No tag team stuff.
Okay.
So it seems that Cynthia here will be getting a major step down in competition from the likes of her previous foes like Jessica Andre and Caitlin Chudigan.
Uh-huh.
So I really think she takes this one out. My prediction is that she wins by unanimous decision. I think it probably goes all three rounds.
Yeah.
But I really think Calvillo right here at the minus 170 or minus 190 that most people are seeing on their books is a lock. I think that's why I'm bringing this prelim fight up. You know, a lot of people get like, hey, pick one of the bigger fights in the card or whatever. This is where I see a for sure winner, a for sure parlay piece for people at a very good value at that minus 170, minus 190.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's going to move in a direction that people don't want it to go. I think she's going to be at a minus 200, 250 by the time this fight goes because
that's the way this line's moving.
Exactly. So, locking in right now, Calvillo is going to win this fight. I think I think it's going to go all the way, but it's going to be a unanimous decision.
It's going to be it's probably going all the way. Their average fight times are at 12 and 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Neither one wins a lot by KO or TKO.
Right.
And this all leans towards what you're saying. And you might have a nice little parlay pick there in your back pocket for a little later on. Another fight you were looking at. Osborne versus Tyson Nam.
Plus Tyson
205.
Nam. Right.
Osborne minus 245 in mini books.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, the big favorite.
Yeah, he is the big favorite here, Andy. Like you said, Ode Osborne, the Jamaican sensation.
Great nickname.
It's
a great
really
nickname.
Good. Osborne versus Nam has to be, I think, a contender for fight of the night on this card at UFC San Diego. The duo is a pair of exciting flyweight strikers, and for very different reasons. Osborne is lightning quick and has a wide variety of attacks, while Nam is just one of those few guys at 125 that can knock your lights off. Something's going to have to win here, Andy, and I'm going to go with the speed. I really think the speed in this versus power battle is going to win. However, it goes. Fans, you're going to want to watch this. No matter what happens on this, no matter which way you're betting on this one, you're going to want to watch this. I think it's going to be fight of the night. But if I had to make a prediction on it, Andy, which is what we do.
That's what we do.
Osborne by a unanimous decision in this one. I think he's too fast. I don't think he gets, I don't think Tyson Nam is going to be able to knock him out. So I really think I'm going with the speed on this one. Osborne by unanimous decision.
Oh, and I was about to let you have it. I'm like, if you're not picking Osborne, it is something of note here. But Osborne's only 11-4 with one no contest, you know, kind of a goofy deal there. Nam, on the other hand, a lot more tread on the tires, 20-12-1 in his And he's also, his last fight, the American, is coming off a loss.
Yeah.
Osborne's coming off a win. These are two fighters maybe going in different directions.
They are.
Both 5'7",
exactly.
Both 126 pounds. Should be a lot of fun, though.
It should be.
Everything else looks pretty good.
Yeah, fight of the night. These both guys want to win. I just think Osborne's just a little bit faster, and he's going to bring it home for me at that minus 280, minus 250, wherever you get him at. And this is another one that I think might creep up in lesser value. So if you guys have it right now, definitely jump on it. And
where it's at, because it's going to just keep climbing.
I think it is as well.
Yeah, I mean, so that's kind of the word I'm getting on the street is.
No doubt.
You do a little bit of homework, and yeah, that's where everyone's kind of leaning there. So can't argue that whatsoever. So let's move on to
Let's do it to the main event. Let's get where everybody's talking about. Like we said, as there are several other undercard fights that are, you know, very intriguing from a bettor's perspective.
Yes.
Let's cover the main event. This is going to be a very good one. Five-round bantamweight bout between Marlon Vera and Dominic Cruz. Vera, right now, at most books, is a minus 225 favorite.
Yeah, big favorite.
Yeah,
I think I still got him at 240.
Yeah.
I can still get him at 240.
Yeah. On some, you can still get him as low as 225, some at 240. Where's my book at right now? I'm going to check. He's at all the way up at 260 on my book. So
yeah.
Wherever you can get him at lower, definitely get him. I believe that, man, I think he's going to defeat Cruz here. Vera,
Dominator. Oh, that's your boy.
It is my boy. And, you know, I have a lot of love for the old guys in the sport and just – you know, people that have given their, you know, blood, sweat, and tears to this organization. He's a two-time champion. At age 36, he has certainly seen better days. We're talking Cruz here. But he is still one of the best fighters in the division, obviously. Having won his last two fights, Cruz is a legend.
Yeah.
He also has some well-rounded skills.
Excellent record, 24-3.
Yeah, no, he's a legend. He's one of the best bantamweights in the history of the sport. Mm-hmm. However, one of his big flaws is he's been super inactive. Ever since joining the UFC in 2011, Cruz is just 7-2. So, having missed huge chunks of his career due to injuries, he is still very talented, and you can't count him out. You can't count him out in this fight.
Both knees have been operated on.
Exactly. And what he's trying to do right here is make one last title run before he hangs it up. But this is a very tough matchup to come out of the gate with.
Yeah.
Cruz has looked good as of late, but Vera has even looked even better. He's one of the best bantamweights in the world. He's coming off the biggest win of his career over Robert Font. At just 29, Vera is right in his athletic prime.
Yep.
He has won his last three fights in very impressive fashion and just keeps improving with every fight. His striking is on point. His ground game is even better. A lot of people are thinking that he might be able to actually submit Dominic Cruz, would just skyrocket his career through the roof. He has an impressive record, like you said, 13-6 in the UFC. He is closing in on a title shot. If he wins this, he is right on the doorstep.
That's the speculation. They're going to the title.
Exactly. You know, right? So...
You like Vera, but you don't like Vera.
I like Vera in this one. I have to go with Vera to win this one.
The Ecuadorian.
Yeah. Although I think it might be in decision against Cruz, since he is so tough to finish.
I don't know.
He is so tough to finish.
And he does outweigh him by a lot, 150 to 136, 137.
Yep.
So he's got the pounds on him there, but he doesn't have the reach.
He doesn't.
Vera's got the reach on him there by a couple inches.
So he might be able to keep him at bay a little bit.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
And you talked about two guys going in different directions. Vera's sitting at number 5.
For sure.
Cruz, the Dominator, at number 8 contender right now.
Exactly.
And a lot of people are saying the winner of this is going to get a shot at the belt.
Yep.
And Vera is primed to get there, coming off a monster win, as you mentioned. And that's why this line mimics what we're seeing with Osborne and Nam.
For
it's
sure.
Just going to keep going the other way.
Yeah.
We've
already seen it. This opened up at about a minus 200.
Yeah.
On my book, it's already up to minus 260. I wouldn't be surprised if it's at minus 300. By the time this fight actually kicks off on Saturday, we might be seeing Vera at a minus 300. So if that does happen to you guys, if you're sitting there Saturday and you want to bet this fight, you got to look into some of those other things that we always talk about is, will he win by decision? Will he win by submission? Will he win by knockout? You're going to have to look at those prop bets and see what you believe will happen. If anything is going to happen, I believe this thing goes to the distance and he wins by decision. But if you want to get a little bit squirrely with your money, Vera always has the chance to knock people out and submit them. So you can go either way with that. I'm not going to touch that. I'm taking him on the money line at minus 260 at this point right now.
All right, and I mean, once again, I was going to call you out.
Yeah,
I thought you were. I thought you were determined to take the Dominator there.
Well, it's bit me the last few weeks, Andy. So I took Gustafson. He's one of my ride or die guys from way back in the day, and he didn't do it for me. And then I took a couple guys last week that I shouldn't have took. So
yeah, those old fighters, man. Like there's a time. There is a time.
There's a time when they cut it off.
Got to hang them up.
Yes, sir.
All right, so. Mr. Parlay Pounder, you got a parlay play for the
I do. So it's pretty much just running back what we just said, Andy. We're starting this thing off with Cynthia Calvillo at a minus 190 for the first piece of this parlay. Uh-huh. We got Ode Osborne at minus 280 for the second leg, and then we got Marlon Vera money line at minus 260. You're putting a unit on that, $100 to receive $186.
Okay.
It's not the best value parlay. But we think this is going to happen. We think these are the right outcomes of these fights. So I think I can hit 3 for 3 on this one and just bank the 186.
And what you're talking about here as far as value in your parlay pitch, these are heavy favorites. Okay.
Yes.
So that's why the payout isn't as high as if putting plus money. Two of them were plus money last
exactly.
week.
And those are parlays that you want to look at if you have confidence in that. What I'm saying is these are my three most confident plays of the night on this card, and that's what I'm throwing my money on.
All right, well, let's take a quick minute here to recognize one of our fabulous partners. That is the Nebraska Brewing Company, boasting world-class in every glass. I've been enjoying the award-winning Cardinal Fine Pale Ale. What do you got going on over there?
Yeah, I'm sitting with the Taco Vesa every night. It is the best beer that I know of. I love it, and we're going to keep sipping on it.
All right, don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. Welcome back to WTL, everybody. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jebron.
The Parlay Pounder.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we talked a little NFL preseason.
No doubt.
UFC.
Yep.
Let's get into some props, some player props, season-long props in the NFL.
Yeah.
Start off with Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
On offensive side.
Offensive Rookie of the Year. Okay, I thought you'd never ask. I got a couple plays here, Andy. A couple guys
scream
out to me and have some really good value right here at the start of the year before, we get into these preseason games.
Some plays. Okay.
Because that's when you're going to see these lines move a lot, is when these rookies play in these preseason games and they can kind of snuff out who's going to be good and who's not going to be.
Are they going to make a starting role? Yeah.
Yeah. And like we said before we got on air here, the best odds right now in my book is Kenny Pickett at a plus 700. And he is the backup quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, we believe, behind Mitchell Trubisky.
That was word out of camp today.
Yeah.
That was Trubisky's job.
Exactly. So these odds makers obviously think Trubisky's going to fall on his face, kind of like he did in Chicago. Sorry for the barb there.
That was after 3 or 4 years. But anyway.
No, but I looked down this list a little bit, and I like a couple of these guys. One that I really like, Andy, is Kenneth Walker III, guy out of Michigan State. So we got to watch him a couple times.
Yeah. Tell me about him.
He's at a plus 1,100. He's gonna be fighting for the number one running back position in the Seattle offense, and I think it's gonna be very run heavy this year without Russell Wilson. So I really like this guy. I think he's going to be pushing Rashad Penny for that number one. And you know that Seattle,
he's a good back.
They always run that two-back kind of system no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter if they do have an overall number one back or, they always split carries. So he has true home run speed. I really think he has a challenge to take over the starting role, though, at least by midseason. And if he does that, I think he has a very clear shot at the offensive MVP run. So that at a plus 1,100, I think that's very good value. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you're sitting there putting $100 on him to win $1,100. Yeah. So I really like that play. Another one that's not as good a value that people are looking at is Breece Hall.
Breece.
He is the draft pick for the New York Jets. I think you'll have to hand some, you know, snaps over to Michael Carter, but I really think this is going to be his job at some point. What? He's the Iowa State product.
Yeah, yeah. What does your book have him at right now?
I have him at plus 400 at my book.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I got him at plus
400. I think he opened up at a plus 900, plus 1,000 on some books, and people were just smashing it.
So it brought it down.
It looks like the Jets' offensive line is going to move in the right direction this year.
It can't get worse.
I really think it's going to take a step forward. I don't know if that, you know, goes to wins or anything, but I really think Zach Wilson probably got his head on his shoulders a little bit better that he can make this offense run a little bit
interesting,
a little
note,
bit better.
Though, they had like a family dinner, and none of the offensive linemen brought their mothers to the dinner. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in the news that would go along with that. But yeah, I'm definitely not letting our mom, you know, hang out with them. So Breece Hall, he's probably one of the number one overall, you know, candidates for this at plus 400. It's still, I think, pretty good. You know, a pretty good a bet there, just because we think he's going to be the starting Jets running back his rookie year.
Okay, and I'm going to give you who I like.
Yeah.
Who is my overall favorite right
now. For
sure. That's Chris Olave.
Okay.
Another Big Ten guy.
Yeah.
I think that might be showing that, you know, we watch more Big Ten than anything else.
Probably.
Being Husker fans. I'd be curious to hear what, you know, an SEC type of show has to say. Because there's no way, like, their top 10 picks of rookie of the year. I know, just know it'd all be Alabama, Texas A&M, Florida. And here we are with Walker III and Olave. But Olave, I mean, they drafted him high in the first round.
For sure.
Right? The New Orleans Saints.
Yep.
They got to get a passing game going. This guy isn't afraid to catch a bubble screen and take it, you know, 60, 50, you know, what yards
not.
Or whatever. And he's got the speed to do it. You can use him. He's so versatile. And he's going to step into a position that he's going to be comfortable with.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
He's a stud.
Like you said there, Jameis, he's just going to be airing this ball out all season. That's what he does. That's what they brought him there for. And with veterans like Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry kind of there to, you know, already take those slots, you know, those they already have a role. And they need that third receiver, which is going to be Chris Olave. And we've already seen this with people like Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. They come in at that third wide receiver position,
and they're
number one receiver by the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a perfect spot for somebody to do that. He's definitely a top five talent in the league for rookies, obviously. He's probably the
I got him at plus 650 right now. I think that's pretty good. That's fair. That's probably where it belongs.
And that's one of those lines, Andy, that, you know, a lot of these receivers that besides him are coming at plus 1300, plus 1500. He came out at a plus 1000. He did. And it's just been batted down just because this guy has so much talent. Everybody's watching him at Ohio State, and he's you know, number 11 overall in the draft. So,
and the chatter out of camp has been crazy. Like, even veteran cornerbacks are giving him props. Like, he beat me. And they have to say that because the tape don't lie.
The tape don't lie.
And the media was there. They filmed it. They tweeted it out. You know, Olave's already had a terrific camp, and for all the reasons you just said there, where he can just slide into that number three receiver role.
For sure.
You know, not face too many double teams.
Yeah.
Get over the top, you know, and by the end of the season, he's the number one receiver.
Yeah.
After he's already got all the yardage and touchdowns racked up. Really like Olave there for my rookie of the year.
For sure.
Yeah.
I want to talk about one more guy, Andy. I just think this is kind of a sleeper pick. He's at a plus 1,100 right now, so he's not a huge sleeper, but it's Sky Moore out of Western Michigan
for the
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
The you know, they kind of have him as a second-tier candidate for the award right now, but I think he might prove that he's worthy of greater respect than that.
You're spot on with that because yeah. I made mention earlier, you know, I did a little homework here and all that good yeah. stuff and how the camp was just so quiet with Kansas City Chiefs, like nothing happened.
Exactly.
His name got brought up on more than one occasion.
For
and
sure.
The good things that he's doing, so I can buy into that.
Yeah, the way that I'm looking at it right now, Sky Moore is, he's bigger than Mecole Hardman, he's faster than Juju Smith-Schuster, and he's a more complete route runner than MVS. So I really think he could just kind of morph into that all-around best receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs besides Travis Kelce, obviously. But with the departure of Tyreek Hill, it leaves a huge void.
It does. Ball's got to go somewhere.
And Moore could be in the mix for a lot of pocket targets and touchdowns. So as long as you're getting those touchdowns and stacking those up, your offensive rookie of the year numbers will go along with that.
Hard to argue with that. And these type of bets, we're not saying bet the farm on this.
Oh, definitely
you
not.
Know, this is for fun. This is a $10.
Exactly.
Don't get too wild with any of that. And if it's your team, if it's your guy,
exactly,
you feel good about it and you got that value. And all these picks right now have pretty decent value. So get it in.
For
get
sure.
it in. Do we want to move on to
Defensive Player
of the Year?
Defensive Player of the Year, DPOY.
Alrighty, so there's only a few front runners here.
Yeah.
Where are you going with this?
Well, I mean, obviously you cannot have this conversation without talking about AD.
Yep.
Frickin' Aaron Donald. I think he's won the award two times, maybe three, mm-hmm. probably three. But and the Rams look to be probably just as good as they were last year. They lost Von Miller. They paid AD, obviously. They had to. Yes, Aaron Donald, you have to talk about him. I think he's definitely in the running for this. A guy that I think they're going to give a lot of props to this year, Andy, that is sitting at pretty good value in my eyes is Myles Garrett at +800.
Uh-huh.
I really think they're going to give this guy a nudge. Just one of those, this guy hasn't won it yet. He's obviously one of the best in the league because they do that with these awards.
They do. I mean, like, he paid his dues. That scares me, though, because if he plays Mason Rudolph again and he might get a start, he might, like, hit him, take his helmet off and hit him in the head with that helmet.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't know with Myles Garrett.
You don't know. I think he's calmed down a little bit since then. With the value at +800, he's sitting right there.
You're hoping he won't do that again.
Yeah, I'm hoping he won't do that again. Actually, I don't care. That makes for good TV. I just hope he doesn't do it week one against my Panthers. You can see that a lot of people are high on him just because he's sitting right there
mm-hmm.
at +800, right across the book from T.J. Watt, the reigning defensive player of the year.
Yep.
Another guy that a lot of people are really high on.
Yeah, +800 yeah. right there, yeah.
A lot of people are high on Micah Parsons, the phenom from the Cowboys. I'm not so high on that just because I don't think the Cowboys are going to put together a very good season. I don't think the defense is definitely going to put together a very good season.
So with that, I mean,
yeah,
half that's true then if you look over to Pittsburgh, because a lot of people have Pittsburgh having a losing record. But on you can look at that as it's all riding on the defense.
The
defense is going to have to overperform, and T.J. Watt has got to be in the middle of all of that.
For sure.
And so that's where if, let's say, Pittsburgh, instead of going 7-10, they go 10-7.
He's a unanimous winner probably. Then.
Right. Then he is right in the mix there for that.
For sure.
Defensive Player of the Year. I'm going to go clear out here.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna show you
it.
And everybody else.
I love it.
I'm not a hater.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not going to hate the guy.
Yep.
Khalil Mack.
Okay.
+3,000. In Chicago, he got there, and he's like, all right, Monsters of the Midway, I'm part of this lineage.
And they were really good for about four or five games there with him.
Yeah.
He
had like four or five sacks.
Exactly. He was the best defensive player in the league.
And then he's like, wow, we don't have an offense.
We can't score points.
We're not winning games. How much did I get paid? Guaranteed money? Okay, that's good.
That's fine.
So then, it was pretty disappointing that the takeoff plays, whatever.
No doubt.
And it was true, but I feel like this is going to be a revival for him.
Okay.
Out in Las Vegas, he's going to be having fun. The pressure, he's not going to be getting those double and triple teams every single
play. Los Angeles, right?
What? Los Angeles.
He plays for the Chargers.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
He's not going back to the Raiders. He's going to the Chargers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, oh, my God.
You're good.
You got Los Angeles. You got Las Vegas. You got Oakland. You got all the
Another Los Angeles. Yep. Yep.
But exactly. So the pressure is going to be taken off him. There's going to be an edge rusher on the other side.
That's one of the best in the league, for sure.
One of the best in the league.
Yep.
And he's actually playing for something. He's got something to play for once again.
They'll be playing for a Super Bowl. They're in that mix, for sure. No, I
Bosa on the other side is one of the front runners to win this.
Exactly.
Thing.
No, I really think that Khalil Mack's sack numbers could spike, like you're saying right here, just because they have to.
And those are sexy numbers for this.
Oh, for sure. That's what it is. And and like you said, Joey's probably going to get double teamed a lot. I mean, Khalil will as well, but this defensive line is going to be so much fun to watch this year. And I think that we kind of got to give both of them a real shot at winning this thing.
Right.
Joey's coming.
They're going to help each other out.
For sure. And he's sitting there at a plus 2,500, which I think is very good value. And Khalil's sitting there at a plus 3,200 on mine. I really like all these picks. If I had to go with one, I think I have to stick with my Myles Garrett pick. But another one that we haven't talked about, Andy, is the other Bosa brother, Nick Bosa, for the San Francisco 49ers.
He's actually ahead of Joey in my book.
Exactly.
He's at plus 13, right?
And he's supposed to be healthy. He's supposed to bring this defense back into the realm. We're going to have a chance to watch him a little bit maybe next weekend, so we might be able to come back with that. But like I said, if I had to pick one today, it's Myles Garrett for the Cleveland Browns.
Your Nick Bosa argument's a lot like T.J. Watt, where the offense is terrible. And if they do win, it's going to be on the shoulders of the defense.
For sure.
I have more faith in Mitchell Trubisky, whatever his name is now, or Kenny Pickett, or Mason Rudolph, than I do Trey Lance.
For sure.
Give me a break. I mean, that's so mean. The guys at the San Francisco Chronicle, that their newspaper, it's a print thing that you have to read.
Exactly.
The newspaper. They're straight up throwing him under the bus. Like, this guy's terrible. Like, he's so inaccurate. And this is practice.
Exactly.
You're talking practice.
We're talking practice. We're talking playoffs.
And he can't.
Playoffs.
And he can't hit a receiver doing a 5-yard out. But,
exactly.
But anyway, so like, that's where I would shut that down with the Bosa brother on, you know, for San Francisco. There.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on to the award.
The big one.
Mm-hmm. Regular season MVP.
Yeah.
You got your front runners, your Josh Allen, your Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
And, of course, Justin Herbert snuck in there as well. What are you looking at?
Obviously, Josh Allen is the clear front runner in this at plus 500. So I don't like that, just because if I'm going to do something like this, I want a really good value on it.
Yeah.
So plus 500, it isn't much of, good enough value for me to put some actual cash on this.
Not on something like that.
Josh Allen, obviously, everybody's expecting him to have a huge year.
Yeah.
I really like Patrick Mahomes at plus 850 on mine.
My book has him at 850.
But I mean, I'm just liking that name, Andy. I've talked on multiple podcasts how I think the Chiefs will probably have a down year. Not a huge down year, but a down year in production for the offensive side, and I don't think that's going to span well for Patrick Mahomes. You have to look at plus 1,000 right here with freaking Tom Brady.
I knew you were going to say it. I knew you were going to say it.
Freaking the GOAT is sitting there at plus 1,000. He's in a weak division. He's going to rack up wins against the Saints, the Panthers, and
how many times has he already won this award? I think there's Tom Brady fatigue out there. There might be.
But okay, if you're going to play that one, then I'm sitting there with Aaron Rodgers at plus 950. So they're both sitting there. These are great values for some of the best players in the league. I'm not even going to talk about any other position other than quarterback, because it doesn't happen anymore.
12 of the top 13, 12 of the top 14 are quarterbacks in my book.
Your best play, if it's not a quarterback, has to be Derrick Henry at plus 3,700, but that's so tough. It's so tough for
this
a running back to win.
Ridiculous it is. Derrick Henry's at plus 3,000 in my book, and Trey Lance, who I just threw under the bus along with San Francisco Chronicle writers, have him at plus 1,800.
Yeah, Mac Jones has better odds than Derrick Henry. And Derrick
Henry.
Yeah,
Chase at plus 3,000.
Yeah.
I love that play.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he can do it.
He can do it, but they're not going to give the MVP to non-quarterback. That's why they created the new award, Offensive Player of the Year, so that they can kind of split this in two. MVP doesn't go to anybody other than
like
quarterbacks.
Cigarettes with filters. Give me a break. I don't like that at all.
Exactly. But no, you have if it's going with me, I have to go with Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Patrick Mahomes.
All right, well then I'm going to go Joe, Mr. Cool, Joe Burrow, plus 1,100.
Oh, I like that.
Absolutely love everything that he did last season, obviously. Even the season before.
Get the guns up.
Yep, get guns up, got the gold chain, got my shades. You know, and it's kind of like his time. I feel like he's riding this high, and he's not ready to get off of it.
Definitely not.
Okay, and there is no Joe Burrow fatigue right now.
No.
So if he has a great year, they play a hell of a game in the playoffs, and they lose by a score, but he played balls out. I could see Joe Burrow taking that hardware home pretty easily.
Yeah.
Even if he just doesn't do it quite as good as he did last year, just holds par, you know. And
they're a good team.
And they're a good team.
A front runner in the AFC. Yep.
They are the front runner.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times has that happened in the last decade where they're picked to win the division?
Yeah.
The Steelers are picked to be the bottom.
Yeah.
Leaders, the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Four. Like, so the table is set here for Joe Burrow to continue this rise of a superstar.
For sure.
I'd like to see it happen just because I like the guy.
Yeah, no doubt.
And he was so close to a Super Bowl last year.
Yep.
He's going to be hungry. I don't see the Super Bowl hangover for this team. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I guess that's a real thing. It's out there. But I don't see it for Mr. Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep. I love that play too. That's very good value for one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Obviously showed it last year. One that I think is just a dark horse sleeper that I have to bring up. He's never won the award. So like you said, there's no, you know, people are getting tired of it.
Sure.
Matt Stafford is sitting at plus 1,700. He has legitimately probably one of the best offenses in the league. Some of the best targets.
I
think he's going to stack up. He's going to stack up yards.
He always has the numbers.
He's going to.
You can't.
And that's
argue
what I'm
that.
Saying. I think at some point they're probably going to say, "Hey, if he's right in there in the mix with Rodgers and Brady and Mahomes with these stats and with the record that the Rams are probably going to turn in this year, I think they have to give him an actual look at MVP this year." So if you guys want to take a little bit of a flyer at plus 1,700, I like big arm Matt Stafford, mega arm. I like that play as well.
And you know, I like the Cincinnati Bengals because they drafted a kid out of Nebraska, right?
For sure.
And they also signed a kid from Peru State.
Boom.
Yeah.
Bobcats.
Delonte Hood ran a 4.3, got invited to the Husker
Moving.
Pro Days. Yes, sir. Doing some good things in camp. He's a defensive back, going to be a cornerback. So I like the Nebraska boys.
Yeah.
Huskers. And Peru State Bobcats.
There we go.
There for the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to come through in a big way. Help my boy.
Joey B.
Joey B. Get
win
that
the
MVP.
Yeah, there we go. I love that, man. That's awesome.
One other thing I wanted to touch on. You know, we talk about Nebraska Brewing Company.
Yeah.
And they're our beer.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Okay. The official beer of the NFL, re-signed again, Bud Light. They've been the official beer of the NFL since 2011.
For sure.
However, there's a rub there because various stadiums have their own deals.
For sure.
With local breweries.
Like,
okay?
I don't believe the Vikings. People don't drink Bud Light up in Minnesota.
What do they drink?
At the stadium. It's either they got Grain Belt is the big one.
Spotted Cow?
Yeah. Grain Belt and Miller Lite are the two big ones up there, obviously, that people in the stands drink. Uh-huh. So that's what I'm saying is I was just doing a point to you that in the stadiums, they're not all slugging Bud Lights.
No, and the big story there is that the Dallas, they're Miller Lite all the way.
For sure.
And, man, when you go to their website, unlike Kansas City's, it was kind of boring. And there's maybe an article here. Cowboys is Flash Flare, the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Preseason highlight reel. Like, what? Okay, fine. But a lot of colors, a lot of things coming at you.
Heck
in Miller
yeah.
Lite. Raiders, their official beer is Coors Light.
Of course.
Okay. Well, what do you think the Denver Broncos official beer is? This is my question to you.
Ooh, this is a good trivia question. I want to say Coors Light, obviously.
Well, why wouldn't you? So just say it then.
Coors Light.
Nope.
Damn it.
It's Bud Light.
Oh.
Bud Light outbid the hometown
beer gosh.
There.
Come on, Coors Light.
And they're even having a Bud Light rooftop thing where it's a lounge area up on the fifth level where you just walk in, big screens everywhere. You just Anybody with a ticket can get there. Huh. So kind of neat. It's up on the fifth level, but yeah, on the east and west sides, going on the Bud Light rooftop. So I just thought it was kind of funny that, you know, all these NFL teams have these subpar beers, where our beer is always from the Nebraska Brewing Company. Yep. World class in every glass. So I think that'll about do it, right?
Yeah, let's finish her up.
All right. So, folks, be sure to follow us on YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok for weekly free picks, hilarious short videos, and feature-length episodes. For the Parlay Pounder, I'm Andy Klassen. Thanks, folks, for listening. This is WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.